Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha veeryam karavavahai, tejasvi navarinamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda. Hare krishna 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 hare hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Verse 9. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura Puri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan, because of Krishna's rasa lila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna, and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radhakunda stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radhakunda, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So these three verses, 9, 10 and 11, as we mentioned already, they go beyond Vaidhi and Raganuga, and then deal with Bhava and Prema. So, verse 9, explain Bhava Bhakti, and verse 11, Prema. So, we won't, as you can understand, we won't speak too much on these verses. We'll just make a few points. Yes.
We didn't really get into the points of Shravanadas, Varnadas, and Smarana.
Yeah, purposefully. Purposefully, I didn't go because I'm not well versed. With these points, either I will go and make a research on this, or we can ask Maharaj to explain it in some of the classes. Because right now I'm not ready to talk about this at all. I can just say what Prabhupada says in the purport, but when I went through it, I noticed that actually I don't get the clear picture what is what. So, yes.
That would be explaining Jagadharma.
Yeah, of course, but it's good to know about this little before then, to be prepared. Yeah.
You mentioned 9 is Bhava and 11 is Prema.
9 and 10, Bhava and 11, okay. Prema. So, the spiritual world occupies 3/4 of the creation. This is mentioned in Purusha Sukta. Saptasyan paridaya, 3 saptasamidha krita. 3/4 of the creation is the spiritual world. And naturally, this is the most exalted region of the creation. In Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 15, there is a elaborate description of the spiritual world. 3:15. You can look at it. And also Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second part, chapter 4 also. There is a description of the spiritual world. And also there are books like Gopal Champo, where also we find a very elaborate description of the spiritual world. And the other one was by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Forgot the name, anyway. So for further reference, you can look there. So superior to, so we want to establish now the Radhakund, the position of the Radhakund. So this is done not just by saying that Radhakund is the super excellent place, but we see the Acharyas Rupa Goswami, and also we see Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They go through different steps. They start with the material world, then they explain this planet Earth is in the medium position, then they go to the heaven, then the planets of the Indra, the sages, then Mahaloka, Janaloka, then the coverings, then the abode of Sadashiva, and then Vaikuntha. And it goes like this. It is a long list of different places. And there is a gradation. So when we reach the end, then we can really understand, at least partially, that Radhakund is the best, most exalted place. Because we compare all these places that we heard from Shastra to Radhakund. So now here we start with Vaikuntha. And then superior to Vaikuntha is Mathura. Why? Because it is the birthplace of Krishna and Balaram. Superior to Mathura are the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Why? Because the Lord performed his Rasa Lila there. And superior to Vrindavan is Govardhan, because this is the site of this famous pastime of lifting the Govardhan. And because this is the place where Krishna tends his cows with his friends, and there he meets Srimati Radharani also. And superior to this is even to Govardhan is Sri Radhakunda. Because the love of Krishna there just overflows, and this is the site of these amorous pastimes, the most exalted pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. And we see when Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, he was looking especially for this place. He wanted to find out where is the Radhakund. And then he found this small pond that he baited there. And then he revealed that actually this is the place of Radhakund. And then later the devotees excavated this pond, and now we have this lake, Radhakund. It was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if he was looking especially for this place, it must be very special. And yeah. Yes, they're more intimate, more.
Yeah, they're not so much rules and regulations. So, and then I heard that actually the Rasa Lila is the essence of all Rasa, but there are something higher than that. Why is Govardhan Hill mentioned as higher than that? What is the aspect that is there that is not there in the Rasa Lila?
No, it says it's higher than Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan. It doesn't say it's higher than the Rasa Lila. Here we're discussing places, not pastimes. why Govardhan is higher than Vrindavan?
touched by Krishna.
Here, let's read the purport here. Yeah, and we see the example of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He said, I'm not going to reside at Radhakund. He said, I will reside at Govardhan. This is his place. Thus, the interior Vrindavan forest is considered superior to Mathura. But superior to this forest is the divine Govardhan hill, because, now here's the reasons, because Krishna lifted Govardhan hill like an umbrella, raising it with his lotus-like beautiful hand to protect his associates, the denizens of Vraj, from the torrential rains sent by the angry Indra, king of the demigods. It is also at Govardhan hill that Krishna tends the cows with his cowherd friends, and there also he had his rendezvous with his most beloved Sri Radha and engaged in loving pastimes with her. So this is the explanation given here. I guess for now we should just be happy with this explanation. Yes. The element of protection.
So it's always better to Krishna, like enjoying one kind of pastimes. It's more better than can give protection.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and also it just came in mind, the Govardhan hill is very special because he's the best servant. If you read the Krishna book, then there, it is explained very elaborately how Govardhan provides everything for the service of Krishna. He gives the herbs, the pastures for the cows, and so many other things that they used for as paraphernalia for Krishna's service. And even the gopis, they take shelter at Govardhan because they learn from Govardhan how to serve Krishna in a completely selfless mood. Just, I guess there is some connection with this question. So, yes.
Also, Govardhan is in Vrindavan.
Uh-huh.
It would be like saying, like, the best part of this building is the second floor, because that's where the deities are. So.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, the best part of Vrindavan is Govardhan. Also, Rasleela happens in Govardhan, too. Spring, Rasleela.
So there are the spring and autumn. Well, we can say in this sense that it happens also at Govardhan because it's part of Vrindavan.
Yeah.
But there is special Rasalila that happens there,
yeah,
at the Govardhan, the spring one.
Also, Govardhan would be glorious because within Govardhan is Radhika.
Yeah, because of the state. Radhakunda at the foot of Govardhan is superior to all because it is there that love of Krishna overflows. It's connected to Govardhan. You want to say something?
Even with the lifting of Govardhan until past time, there were many many purposes filled by that past time, not just protecting the inhabitants.
Also, I was remembering Dinabhanupu, he was saying that how Vrindavan is superior to Vaikuntha because in Vaikuntha, that's the Lord's kingdom. But he walks around in shoes. But in Vrindavan, Krishna, he walks around barefoot. There's many holy places where Vishnu walked barefoot. But the speciality of Vrindavan is that when Krishna took the form of a calf, he was also eating the dust, because when you take the grass, some dust is there. So he was eating the dust. Yeah. So in this connection, and he was holding the Govinda.
Did you get this? You could hear? Yes or no? Maybe you have to repeat now. Radha Kunti is not different from Radharani, and Srila Prabhupada makes this point very clearly that this is the most exalted place. And then if this is the highest place, why don't just go there and live there? If it's so explicitly said that this is the best place, the highest place. The example given is like when you go to the pharmacy and you ask for the most powerful medicine that you can get. In a sense, this is the best medicine. And it is for everybody, it is the best. But if you ask for the most powerful medicine and just take it without prescription, it can be harmful actually for you personally. This is the reason why we advised to take the particular medicine according to our own physician. We have a physician, like, how we call this? General practitioner. He knows us very well because we go regularly. He knows our condition and he gives certain medicine, especially for us. So this is the reason why we shouldn't just go and stay at Radha Kunda. Although it's stated here in many places in this purpose that this is the best place, and just bathing once in Radha Kunda, one can develop Krishna Prema. This it is the highest medicine, the highest thing, but for the proper person. For us, there are other prescriptions given by our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Which doesn't exclude going to Radha Kunda. You can go. But there is different process for us, not just residing there. Why? One of the basic main reasons is that staying in one place and trying to perform this Nirjan Bhajan, if the mind is not purified, then what will happen? We will stay in this place, try to think of Krishna, and then the material mind, because it is very contaminated, will start to think about sanctification. And then we see this even at Radha Kunda. There are persons who live there, but they don't follow the principles. So just by living at the proximity of Radha Kunda doesn't necessarily mean that one is very advanced. Could be, but not necessarily. And Srila Prabhupada says here, the importance of Radha Kunda, however, cannot be realized by other Vaishnava Sampradayas. Nor can persons uninterested in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understand the spiritual importance and divine nature of Radha Kunda. Thus, Radha Kunda is mainly worshipped by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the glory of Radha Kunda is hidden. Even other Vaishnavas cannot appreciate, usually.
And isn't it also that we are the only Sampradaya who worships
believe the Nimbarkas are also doing the same. Not in this separation. With them, Radha and Krishna are always together. Going further, verse 10. In the Shastra, it is said that of all types of fruity workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord Hari. Out of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, jnanis, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to the others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental cowherd boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Harkunda lake is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radhakund and, in spiritual body, surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, aprakrit bhav, render loving service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Ashtakali Lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the bank of Radhakunda are the most fortunate people in the universe. So, the verse 9 describes the hierarchy of holy places and places generally. And now the next verse describes the hierarchy of people, of human beings. And as Radhakunda is the highest of all holy places, in the same way, the persons who have reside on the banks of the Radhakund are the most advanced human beings. And this is only logical. If you look Bhagavad Gita 4:11, there Krishna says, as they surrender into me, I reward them accordingly. Yetamam prapadyante tam sthaiva bhajami aham. And this reward is both in the matter of the consciousness and in the place. Consciousness, proper consciousness, predetermines the place where one will reside. And some people reside in heaven, some people reside in hell, and in between. So here in the purport, there is this different stages of people, starting from the vikarmis. So vikarmi means sometimes the devotees, we are kind of, especially nowadays, we are kind of shy to call the non-devotees karmis. You know, say karmis, and some devotees say, protest. You know, what's this karmis? This is very insulting and sensitive to the people.
It's the opposite.
Opposite, yeah, actually.
They're not qualified.
Yeah, this was my point. But actually, they shouldn't be called karmis. Because what we mean by saying karmi is actually vikarmi. Vikarmi means someone who just pursue his selfish goals, sanctification, extended or personal, without following the very rules and regulations. So this is vikarmi. Karmi is someone who is pious. He has the same goal, but he knows about the scriptures and he's following the scriptures. So this is karmi. It's a quite elevated platform. So, like, we can turn it off. Once sannyasi. He was giving class and then at one point he stopped and he turned off this. He said, they're so stupid, they don't know how stupid they are. And then he turned it on again. Yes.
Vikari, do they follow Shastra?
No.
They don't follow Dharma. So they're animal?
could be anamoya or pranamoya, but without any regard to scripture. Could be both. The karmi should be already on the next anamoya pranamoya, manamoya, because he has to accept scripture. So, although he's egoistic still, he does it for himself, but he accepts higher authority. Yeah?
Like Hiranyakashipu may be a karmi or a
vikarmi? But he's a special case.
He
followed Varnashrama. We can say perfectly.
But he accepted himself as...
Like Jarasandha also, he was worshipping Vishnu. He was Vaishnava. I mean, in this sense, we can say he was Vaishnava, but when Vishnu came, personally, when Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima, they came to his place, then he fought with Vishnu's devotee, Bhimasen. And then he was attacking Krishna before that. So many times. So, that's a demon. He might follow Varnashrama for his own purposes, because he's intelligent enough to understand that if he wants the best material result, he has to follow these things, Varnashrama, etc. But and he can even perform tapasya, he can be very religious. But there is one thing he will never accept, is that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and he is not, he is servant. This thing demon will never accept. I guess you can take him on the platform of Manamaya. Yes?
But also the platform of Pranamaya has elements of Dharma and can't have elements of just sense enjoyment.
No. They are. Anamaya and Pranamaya, they are together because they are based on the same, you can say, philosophy. So there is no Shastra there. It's just, I want to enjoy. And on the level of Anamaya, you just enjoy without taking in consideration everybody else around you. You just don't notice them. And on the level of Pranamaya, you take notice of them and you include them in the picture just because you want to have more efficient sense gratification. But it's nothing to do with Shastra or anything. Just materialistic efficiency in getting more sense gratification. And having a relatively stable environment so that it doesn't interfere with your sense gratification. But it's not based on Shastra.
Vikar. So Dharma can also be meaning to take the nature of something and to take into account other people. You have to understand what is that nature. So that's but the element of religiosity.
But how?
Who, the elements, yeah. It's connected to the senses. Mm. So it's reaching either up or down.
Okay, but who defines what is the nature of something? Yeah, but it's defined by Varnashrama, basically. So if you don't take this, if you don't have faith in this definition of the nature of something, then, and you manufacture your own definition of the nature, then where is the progressive element in the whole thing? They would say that, they might say, but they just speculate what is what, and this is the reason why we see Krishna relationship are falling apart so much, because nobody knows who is who and how to behave properly. Where we are? Vikarmis, karmis. Okay, and then what is the example of the karmis? You earn money. And then you go for a vacation, you go to heavenly planets, and then you spend this money. And when you, well, you enjoy, but every day you spend the money you earn on the planet Earth. And then once this balance is finished, then you have to come back. Kshine punye martya lokam vishanti, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And then above this is the Gyani, who Krishna says, Manishanam Sahasrishu. Among all so many thousands of millions of people, some strive for self-realization. And Gyani is understood, he has understood that just sense gratification is not enough. And it's not pleasing, actually. It cannot give happiness. And then he's striving for liberation. He's freed from this gross ignorance, and his knowledge is higher. But still, if he doesn't surrender to Krishna, then his knowledge is still contaminated. His intelligence is impure, because he doesn't understand, actually, his real position. And then above this, and then this is the reason why, even if he attains liberation, he will have to fall down, because he will think in terms of activities, he will think only about material activities, and material activities are performed here in the material world. And then the devotee is above that, and among all devotees, the best devotees are the gopis. Why? Because they have given up everything for Krishna, and they don't expect anything in return. They perform service, and they don't want anything in return. And even when Krishna leaves them, they continue their service in separation. Radharani, Srimati Radharani, she says, when Krishna is here, when he is present, I see only one Krishna. When he is not present, I see millions of Krishna everywhere. And among the gopis, the best among all of them is Srimati Radharani. His devotion is so great that when Krishna himself cannot understand this devotion, and he has to take birth. It's not proper. He has to appear as Lord Chaitanya, to taste, first to understand and then to taste her love for him. So just as Radharani is most dear, so is her lake, Radhakund. And therefore Srila Prabhupada says, everyone interested in Krishna consciousness should ultimately take shelter of Radhakund, in Radhakund, and execute devotional service there throughout one's life. So again, the same question. Should we just take our stuff now and go to Radhakund? But one should do this in a spiritual body, surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings. And this indicates Baba Bhakti, the level of Baba. So that means we have gone beyond sadhana bhakti, and in that consciousness, one should take shelter in Radhakund. Because one can live on Radhakund, but actually, the acharyas say, it's actually Narakund, not Radhakund, if the consciousness is not proper. And then, we'll just read the next, verse 11, the last one. Of the many objects of favorite delight and of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine Kunda is described by great sages as similar dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radhakunda is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada would permit the devotees to bathe in the Radhakund. But then when the devotees started to use Radhakund just as a swimming pool, then Prabhupada was very unhappy, and he was asking, why did you kick Radharani? That was the story. One sannyasi was telling the story. They just went to Radhakund, and then the senior devotee who was there, he told them, so this Radhakund, just jump and have a fun. So they were doing all kinds of, like, Westerners will do in a swimming pool. And then they came back to the temple, and then apparently Srila Prabhupada was there. Apparently Prabhupada didn't know what happened, because they just went to Radhakund and came back, and they were the first. Nobody knew what actually happened there. So they got back to the temple. Prabhupada, apparently he understood what has happened on a higher level, without anybody telling him. So he said, he was very grave, and he said, why did you kick Srimati Radharani? And that was the turning point. Then the devotees understood the importance of this place. So we'll end up here. If someone wants to say something, otherwise we'll end up. Thank you. This is the last lecture, and about the essay question or questions, I'll give it to you a little later.